If you're to remember something, remember what I'm about to say. Remember what I'm about to say right now. There is no honor without testing. let me say that again. Even if you forget everything else that I've said, I will say today, just capture that, that there is no honor without testing. No one is raised to a place of honor without being tested. So think about all the places you want to be, all the recognition you want to get, all the things that you want to do, all the glory that you want to walk in. There is no honor without testing. Praise the Lord. Secondly, there is no honor without growth. Praise the Lord. So first, there is no honor without testing. Secondly, there is no honor without growth. Now, I've told you this before and I'll say it again. The only growth that is automatic is biological. Okay? It's in spite of your mental health, in spite of your status, you will grow biologically. It's the only growth that is automatic. Every other growth must be intentional. Spiritual growth, financial growth, social growth, name it. Every other growth must be intentional. So if that is true, and it is, you can't just sit there and attend church and think you're just going to magically grow. Because there are many people who have attended fellowship and ministries for years and are still babies. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 4 verse 1 that the heir, as long as he's a child, deferreth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. So in the spirit, you could have had years in terms of being in ministry and church. You could even be a leader. But it's possible for you to be a child and are not different from a servant, the Bible says. So the only growth that is automatic is biological. Every other growth must be intentional. That means you must put in the effort. And for growth to take place in every other realm, even the biological one, there is no such thing as arrivalism. When your body grows, it grows old until finally you die and leave. Spiritual growth has no ceiling. Even knowledge, your natural knowledge has no ceiling. Finances, every stage someone gets at, they always long for another level. So that means that as long as you're talking about growth, there is no arrivalism. There's nothing like, I have reached. Okay? And that cuts across every sphere of growth. So, to be honored, you must be tested. And not just tested, you must pass the test or tests to be exalted to a place of honor. Please listen carefully to what I'm saying. This is for you, And it's very simple and very plain so that you can understand it. When God wants to grow a man, the foundation of growth, the foundation of the growth of a man is linked to the heart of that man. God is more interested in who you become than what you get. I'll say that again. He is more interested in who you become than what you get. It's the reason why Abraham can want a child but take 25 years before he does so. The Israelites will want to get to the promised land but take 40 years before they do so. David will want to sit on the throne but take 15 years before he does so. God is more interested in what you become than what you get. Otherwise, what you get will be what you've become. So in other words, the thing that you have will define you. Oh, have you seen my Rolls Royce? And as long as the Rolls Royce is there, your esteem is high. But when it's taken away, who are you? You're bigger than the things that you have. And what I'm telling you is very, very important. Because as much as God wants to get you things, He's more interested in who you become before he gets you the thing. That's why last week I was telling you that you're not a husband and wife when you get married. It's a husband and wife that get married. Okay? A person does not get rich when they get things. They first become rich. Then the things come to the rich person. You understand? So God is very interested in who you become more than the things that you get. And if he sees that what you're going to get will deter who you become, you will stay where you are, no matter how much God loves you. And it explains the reason why we can be in church praising and worshiping God day in, day out. And billionaires in the top 50, there is no Christian. Because unlike the world, God does not give things for the sake of giving things. Are you with me? If that was the case, then every person we're reading about in Scripture would be wealthy. So there are levels to these things. And because there are levels to these things, you need to understand that there is something that is called process. In Scripture, there is a law of process. And I'm going to explain to you why this is important. Yeah? Give me Exodus. Exodus chapter 23, verse 29 to 30. So I was telling you that the Lord is interested in your heart and who you become. So one of the things he will do is that he's a very individualistic God, a very particular God. He will deal with you personally. Sometimes you won't be able to know that he's dealing with you personally, because many of us think that we think corporately. Our fellowship, our man of God, our God. But God is very individualistic and very particular. And so, in order to get you to grow, he will begin to isolate you and take you away from the crowd so that he can deal, first of all, with the individual call, the individual heart, grow the individual grace, and present you as in the measure and the stature of Christ Jesus. So he will isolate you. If you refuse to be isolated by instruction, he will isolate you by events. So your friends will leave you. You will get heartbroken. Your family will reject you. And you will say it's the devil. And you will go to men of God who, if they don't have a discerning ability, will begin to pray against God. And they can't win. So your situation will stay exactly as it is, because he's isolating you. The devil is different. While the devil can use isolation to achieve his goals, most of what he does is in crowds and groups. Why? Because while God is intimate, the devil is not interested in intimacy. He doesn't want to get to know you. He's trying to stop you, the inner part of you, from coming out. So most of his confusion happens in crowds and groups. It's for that reason why in Psalms chapter 1 it says, "Blessed is he who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." You understand? That scripture is talking about someone who's in some kind of a crowd. And why the devil will do that is that it's easy for character, confusion, manipulation to happen when there is a crowd. Instead of trying to get you personally to manipulate things, he'll just put people around you. It's for that reason why the scripture says, "Bad company corrupts Okay? So he'll put people around you. And scripture says, he who is wise walks amongst the wise. You understand? And what I need you to know is this, that there's a law in the Bible that says what you sow is what you reap. And in essence, if a person is hanging around proud people, he cannot reap humility. It's impossible. In the same way, if you hang around people who have a way they think about wealth, it starts to rub off you. That's how things sometimes don't need to be taught. They just need certain atmospheres. Amen. Okay? Amen. So God will isolate you to grow you, primarily. And if he's to isolate you, he will bring specific people to you during the period of isolation. Amen. Amen. But the devil, you just collect you with people. Collect you. Okay? Now, the scripture says here, what is the scripture I gave you? It says, God is speaking. These are the Israelites in the desert. And he's talking about the promised land. And he says, I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year. I need you to understand that in the Bible, God told Abraham that there is a promised land. He has given it. He has given it to the Israelites. But when they reached the border of the promised land, he said, take it. Lord, I thought you had given it to me. He said, take it. Now, here's the thing. There's something called pressure. Yes. Pressure cuts across everyone, across every sphere of life, rich, poor, woman, man, status, it doesn't matter. Pressure cuts across. But for Christians, it's unique. The reason why it's unique is because we have promises. And if you have promises and you've believed in them, but you don't see those promises in your life, pressure begins. Especially if you're around people who seem to be experiencing the promises, but you don't have them. Pressure begins to build. It's building because you know that there is a promise. And different people respond differently to pressure. There are Christians who love God with all their heart, but pressure has caused them to go to a witch doctor. Okay, can I talk? Cause them to go to a witch doctor. A witch doctor. But they sit here every day, but you know, they announce God, they say, we love him so much, what? Then a situation comes. And you've gone to men of God and they've prayed, and nothing seems to be changing. Then you go to a witch doctor. Because of pressure. There are people, because of pressure, who are forced to lie and add soup to their testimony. Now, some of you know who I'm talking. God has done something in your life, but because you perceive in your mind that people won't find it as extravagant, you decide to add to God's work to help him testify. And people clap for you, but you're lying. That pressure that causes you, you know, to give a testimony where there is none, or to add to something that was not there. And I've told you before that something supernatural can happen in something ordinary. Amen. Amen. It's okay to come and say, listen, I read for my exam and I would like to thank the grace of God, I passed. Whether they clap or not, even if another one comes and says, I had no leg, it has come. Know that in either way, the glory of God still shines. You don't need to add to the testimony so that people can pressure. There are people who I meet who don't know how to be alone. Every time this relationship ends, they jump into the next one because they're insecure. They don't know how, you know, God is trying to first be alone. You know, first put you, isolate you, work on you.
So that when we work on you, the category of people, the breaking heart chaps, can't find a way through the insulation that has come through growth. But no, the pressure, my friends are getting married, they are what? So you jump from one to another. Jump one to another. There are people, because of pressure, have got into debt. Because they want to appear rich. Now you guys. So, you're looking around, and especially in the church, because if you go to a ministry that is result-based, and you see others getting results, and you feel like you don't have them, there are people who are pressured to manipulate the result. Okay? So the person goes and gets a debt, and buys a nice car, just so that people can clap and say, that one has results. But you see, you cannot cheat the process. You can't cheat the process. There are people who have got married out of pressure. Imagine entering a permanent covenant because of, and you guys are, you're just there because of pressure. Now, you know, because some of you are pressured. Everyone has gone through it. And you see, maybe mama this or auntie this, every time you go for a family meeting. Now you go. When will you get married? And so because of pressure from the outside, any guy that comes, as long as he seems sensible, you just go. Pressure. And this scripture says, I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year. So God gave them the promised land. There were people inside there. He says, I won't drive them out in 1 year. He can, but he won't. And why? He says, lest the land become desolate and the beast of the field multiply against thee. What he's saying is that if he does everything for you, things don't always become better if they happen at once. Now the next verse, verse 30. By little and little, I will drive them out from before thee, until thou be increased and inherit the land. He's not rushing. And so here what he's saying is that until you're increased, and in relation to you, until you grow, he will be driving out things little by little. No matter how much you shout, how much you sow, how many prophecies you receive. Because your destiny is so powerful, it can destroy you if you're not ready for it. So who you become is extremely important. Now, the foundation of process, for God to take you through a process, to grow you, it's important that you know where you are in a particular moment in time. That you know who you are, or what, who you are, where you are in a particular moment in time. That is so important. There cannot be growth unless you know where you are in that moment in time. If you do not know, then growth is difficult, almost impossible. In that moment in time. Now, I have to say this, that there are people who, you might think you know where you are in a moment in time, but there are people who do not know where they are in a moment in time. And I'm going to explain to you. They don't know where they are. And because they don't know where they are, maturity is difficult. So I'll give you an example. A guy who has never started a business, never had a successful, sustainable business, looks at a man who for 20 years his business has been successful, sustainable, and that man says he's worth $100 million. And this guy says, Rabbi, that's not money. What he's doing, it's not business. What qualifies him to disqualify someone who has gone ahead of him? I need you to understand it. Okay? From where is his wisdom coming? Yay. Another man says, why are you going to that ministry? Look at it. He either doesn't have one, he has never had one sustainably. But from where is his qualification coming from? to disqualify a qualified person. Are you getting what I'm saying? Sometimes it even happens the other way around. A man can have 50,000 people in a congregation and look down on someone who has 100. But you see, in the spirit, the success of a ministry is not based on the number or its reach. It's based on how much of the pattern of your call you have implemented. That's what it's based on. It's not based on how many people you have. You can be successful in what you think is success, and the pattern is totally different. You understand? That's why a person can have 100 people and be faithful in it, and God says, well done, good and faithful servant. It's about seeing that pattern. He told Moses, do everything according to the pattern that I showed you in heaven. So you pick the pattern and faithfully implement it. Not looking at what your neighbor is doing, what your neighbor is saying. Galatians 6 verse 4. But let every man prove his own work. Okay. Make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you have been given. And then sink yourself into it. Into that. Don't be impressed with yourself. Don't compare yourself with others. So it's the place of knowing, this is where I am. And the moment you know this is where you are, it's not based on who you're comparing. Oh, my neighbor is doing this. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You have found a place where God has shown you that this is where I am in this moment. And then he begins to take you step by step. This stuff of attacking people who have gone ahead of you when you're nowhere, it's not wisdom. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the living God. Amen. There are two types of pressures. There's a pressure that can be, because what I need you to make clear is that when God takes you through a process, pressure is inevitable. It's inevitable. Don't pray against it. It is inevitable. There's what they call, I call it the spirit of pressure. Now, I have to make this very clear that there is a, when I say spirit of pressure, I'm not talking about a being. There are entities, there are spirits that are beings. Okay? For example, the spirit of Mammon. What the Bible talks about in Malachi as the devourer. That's a spirit. There are spirits like that. Then there are spirits that are not beings. They are atmospheres. Okay? So for example, fear is not a being. Fear is an atmosphere. When God says, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. He's not talking about a spirit being. He's talking about the state of your spirit. He has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So there are spirits that people can have that are atmospheres. They surround them. They are auras. A person has a spirit of fear. Debt, for example, can be a garment that someone puts on. Now, there's a spirit of pressure. Huh? Yeah. Pressure. I remember back in school, I went to a school of the kids, the parents were well-to-do. Huh? I don't know about you guys, but the school that I went to, the school that I went to, the kids were kids of parents who are well-to-do, in society and beyond, this society and beyond. And you see, the fact that I was there shows also my parents were well-to-do. What? Yeah. But when you get in there, you begin to realize that all our parents are well-to-do, but there are levels. Now, you understand, Because, yes, all of our school fees is being paid, some people miraculously, others, But there are levels, And as children, as kids, you begin to learn, even in school, that there are levels. Now, in school at that time, there would be categories based on net worth. Or names. Some of you know it. And this one's daughter cannot date. Who's Malinga? You understand? You understand? The name has to carry some sort of weight. There were categories. Now, here's my point. Even when we used to have school canteen, the parents used to come and put money. There the levels were shown. My dad would put 30,000. This is 2001, 2000. Eh? 30,000 in that bank. Eh? There were students, 2 million. At that time, now what's he going to do with 2 million? Even if you bought for all the girls in school. A donut at that time was 100. 100 shillings. You understand? A sumbusa, rice sumbusa, sijui what? 200, you know? And people would receive pressure. Because you see, when you're lining up, you know, so you all line up. And they say, what's your name? The guy is opening. And others behind are seeing how much is on your account. So guys would wait and come late when everyone has what? And you, some of us, me, I'm like, because my dad, it's not because he could not give me more, but he tried to, you know, he believed in financial management. Try to teach you how to utilize your money. But you see, I used to say that, but there were guys who their parents were teaching them financial management with 2 million. And you see, 30,000. And now some people would be pressured. The guy would have 20, 10,000. But because his friend has 1M, he will spend like the friend. And if there's one visitation, you're finished. You understand? The pressure, the pressure of trying to, you know, to fit in, that pressure. I remember I met some old schoolmates. Eh? They called me up and said, Daniel, let's just go and hang out. So we went to a place in Intinda. And as we were ordering, black label, sijui, what label, what. Then I asked for a bottle of water. And this guy next to me said, he told the waitress, excuse me, madam, why don't you bring a bottle of milk since we're seated with a baby? Imagine, eh? And the whole table laughs. The next table guys are like, hey, baby, are you are, eh? Because you're drinking what? Water. Now, for some people, that pressure, you know, to conform, it comes in. And so you know, and that's why God will try to isolate you. Your friends will find you irrelevant at a certain point. Something will happen so that he can grow you on a personal, individual level. And then present you to those. And then they're the ones who come and say, hey, man, how did you make it? Huh? Do you know the reason why? Process is important. Is because experience, there is a wisdom built with experience. The Bible says in Job chapter 12, verse 12, it says, wisdom comes with the aged, meaning that there's a wisdom that comes with the number of years you've gone into something. Okay? If you don't have experience in something, there is something you're missing out. That is why when you go to the labor ward, the first time, if you're married, or if you're going to the first time, when you go in there, that pregnancy labor ward there, the husband will realize very quickly that he's useless. Now, I need to make it easier. Yeah? So he just walks in. And you know, when it's your first time, eh, you think you've watched movies. And so you walk in. Eh, and the first thing that you experience is you realize, apart from go and pick this, go and pick that, but you are very useless. You did your part earlier. And so, and now, here's my point. Here's my point. But the people that will surround that person, especially if it's their first time to give birth, will be people who have gone through the process before. Not these woo young ones who say, is everything will be fine. Everything. Or the husband will say, is there anything I can do? Should I touch here? Should I touch here? No experience whatsoever. You're just, and you'll notice that on the second birth, usually the guy, when he comes, he knows his place. He's not trying to be where he's not supposed to be. He knows this is for them, this is for me. That's the reason why people who have gone through the process are more helpful to a person than people who have watched it on TV. No matter how many episodes of ER you've watched, it's not the same thing. Oh, process. When God takes you to a place where he adds experience by taking you through certain things. Okay? So there's a pressure that inspires, where you're around certain people, and yes, they have things that you don't have, but they inspire you. That's the first category. The second category is the most common. The pressure that intimidates and frustrates. And so you begin to compare, not knowing. And you see that thing with this, pressure is so deadly, especially negative pressure, that it can abort a season. You can enter something, say marriage, before it's time, and you've distorted the season because your friend was telling you, "Na yagwe, o wasadi." Pressure, that spirit, so deadly, it can distort seasons. That's why the ability for you to know, as God, to have a personal, intimate relationship with God is so important. You reach a place where you start making decisions prayerfully. Not because this one has said, that one has said. So by the time, you know, when Jesus, and they told him, give me John chapter 7, verse 3. So these are his brothers. These are the guys giving him pressure. He says, his brothers therefore said to him, "Depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples also may see the works that you are doing." Verse 4. "For no one does anything in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly." They're taunting him. So you want to be known, eh? Why are you doing things in secret? "If you do these things, show yourself to the world. Put yourself on Facebook. Put yourself on Instagram." And because people are speaking, they're taunting you. Verse 5. "For even his brothers did not believe in him." So what they're saying is not because they see the light in him. They're trying to pressure him to do something. Verse 6. "My time has not yet." But your time is always ready. And some of you is like that. Anytime, everything, anytime. Anytime relationship. Anytime, you know, anytime business. Anytime, just randomly just doing things. Not aware of seasons and how they work in a person. Because they're corporate seasons and they're individual ones. Huh? Just doing things anytime. And so pressure builds. It builds and causes you to do things outside your season. These things where you've been married for 5 years, don't have a child. You're the oldest in the family. The younger ones have like 6 children. They're just popping them out like, eh? And you ask yourself, "Lord, what about me?" And that's where you know what, the pressure that a person puts on themselves? Just constant pressure. I met one time a husband and wife who were going through something like that. And the wife had put herself in so much pressure, on so much pressure, that she believed every time her husband looked at her, he was judging her for not being pregnant. Okay? Now the husband genuinely, when he would say, "It's okay, the Lord will," you know, he meant it genuinely, but every time he said it, she thinks he's just saying it for the sake of saying it. And it just, the devil uses it as a weapon to just separate them because of the pressure that is coming from without. And you see, the thing is this, we think that what we perceive as progress is always success. What you perceive as progress is always success. And from a spiritual perspective, you can be standing still and be exactly where God wants you to be. Amen. And these are the things that I had to learn over time. And these are the things I'm trying to tell you as well. Because when you come in, you say, "Rabbi, echintu techitambula. What can we do? What can I do?" And some of you need to learn that as important as your man of God is, you need to learn to hear from God personally. Please, I beg of you. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Give me the message version of that. Eh? We are not understand putting ourselves in a league with those who boast that they are superiors. Eh, I know so many people that need to read this. We wouldn't dare do that. But in all this comparing and grading and competing, they miss the point. They miss the point. Do you know that the only person we're supposed to compare ourselves with is Christ? And the Bible says, until you come to the fullness of the measure of the stature. But you trying to compare yourself with that one and this one and this one. And in the end, when you sit with yourself, how much of God can you see in you? The Bible says, do not think of yourself more highly than you should. It says, do not think of yourself more highly than you should. In other words, at a particular point of time, realize that this is the place. You can see where you're going, but you need to know where you are now. So that when you look at people who have gone ahead of you, Jeremiah 6:16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. What this scripture is saying is that for everything that you want to do, you will not be the first one who has done it. No matter how much you boast. So the Bible says there is nothing new under the sun. And in terms of Christianity, there's a path that God has laid for you where people before you planted a seed which you walk into. You understand? Eh? Some of those people are still alive. So when you go and start underlooking someone who God has walked with for 25, 30 years, just there, and I'm not just talking about ministry, I'm talking about every aspect of life. When someone has gone ahead of you, and you know you have not experienced and been drawn to the wisdom that comes through experience like them, in that area, I can say many things about people, but I fear talking about people who have gone ahead of me. Eh? That's a deadly thing in the spirit, and both in the natural. Some of you are in pressure cookers right now. Some of you, when I look around, you see, pressure. Pressure. If this was a marriage ceremony thing for grace, marriage grace, eh? Pressure. Babies, pressure. Success, pressure. But know that God sees where you are. I have learned, and I say this, take this home. I have learned, eh? The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. Most of the things and the breakthroughs that I've got, especially through people, I have not sought them. There's nothing wrong with seeking. Please understand it. But there's something amazing about an answer coming to you and finding you exactly where you are. It's that thing of Elisha going to the widow. You know? That kind of situation where God knows your thing and has seen what has been built in you and then brings someone to sort it out. Amen. There's a scripture that most people will not like. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 12. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You inherit the promises through what? Faith and patience. But the thing with pressure is that it comes with impatience and frustration. So you are tempted to try to make the promise come to pass. And it will lead to more frustration. That's why we have Christians. Let me tell you. Can I just say this with one heart? When you're pressured, and the pressure gives a negative reaction, you're tempted to be fake. You're tempted to be fake. Everything you're doing is fake. Fake business, fake friends, fake relationship, fake. Just because you're thinking about what people. Fake. And there are many people, let me tell you, there are people many of us admire that are fake. Fake. And you see, you can't be fake for long. Such things are revealed. Someone can invite you to their house. They are paying thousands of dollars. But in reality, they haven't yet paid. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Eh? So when they go to sleep at night, the heart is tick, 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 tick. Meanwhile, for you, like, now you look at him. The Lord has done it mighty. You don't even know that because you're being you, you're authentic, you're better than that chap. But you've failed to learn how to discern. So you allow the fake thing to bring pressure. Fake. When something is authentic, it is sustainable. Something is real. That's why the Bible says of Jesus, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We know truth by him because he is real. He's not fake. But imagine your friends are dating, so you decide to get any random chap just so that they can say, "Banange, gasoni yari no msajja." But when you're alone in the house, they're just beating you. And you stay there. You stay there. You see, and marriage is a different thing altogether. Now I'm talking about the category of people. You're just relating with the guy. The guy is beating you. But you're saying, what will people say? Is there a covenant there? Get pack your bags. What will people say? Are they with you in the house? I meet, I'll tell you, someone, listen, remember what I told you. What qualifies you to disqualify someone who has gone ahead of you? Someone can be, and I have to say this, someone can be in ministry and you're struggling with something and you come, my mother died. And the first thing they say, did you partner? Now, I need you to understand this, eh? That I have learned from even from the Bible itself, we'll get to that sometime, that there are times people come to me and they need you to meet their need physically before you meet it spiritually. Okay? I remember during my wedding preparations, I hated meeting people who asked me, what's your budget? I'll pray for you. I can pray, you understand, eh? What I need is not... Isn't it? You know when someone is trying to meet your spiritual need, but what you need is the physical thing, eh? The best guys were the ones, what's your budget? First of this. Those are the ones. There are times people need the physical need before the spiritual one. Otherwise, everything you're saying on a spiritual level is just falling on hard ground. Am I speaking to somebody? Yeah. Just falling on hard ground. So, I was kicked out of my house for rent. You who claims to be in a better place than me, don't try to be deep. I don't know if you get it. Now you see, there are things in the spirit that come to rent. What I need is a place to stay. Okay? You either provide me a solution or show me to someone who does. Also, number two, before you give me a solution, actually now this is for you people, before you go to someone for a solution, first see where they are. From where is their wisdom coming from? If it has not been experienced. Now imagine, you're kicked out of a house for rent and you go to someone within the ministry, huh? Who's also been kicked out for rent. But because they're a leader, huh? You come to them and say, rent, from whence is their wisdom coming from? I don't you get what I'm saying. Yeah? Things. Some people are pressured with fake miracles. Ministers. Fake. Okay. Pressure is a real demon. It's a spirit. Yeah? Real. Huh? That's why scripture says, 2 Corinthians 4:18, Why we look not on things that are seen? Eh? Actually, go to verse 8. I think 8 can also touch it. Eh? We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Eh? Perplexed, but not in despair. The thing is shaking you, eh? But inside, you're calm. Not because you had scriptures, but because you know him. And it's easy to say that. May I tell you, it's easy to say that. Eh? Yeah, I know Jesus. Then like a thing comes, eh? Shakes you. There are times I want to invite some of you people to come and sit with me during ministry sessions when I'm ministering to people one-on-one. You're joking. There's a day the Lord taught me something. A lady walked in with 4 children and said, Rabbi, I have a loving husband. I have 4 children, but we're struggling financially. The moment she had walked out, a rich lady walked in. I have no children, no husband. Eh? And you know, life is very interesting because you you can think your situation is the worst. The truth is, everyone who's at a particular point, someone wants to be where you are. Amen. Then the next one, because the rich lady said, at least she has children. The other one said, they still have children, but you can't feed them. Everyone has their particular good thing that they're dealing with. Eh? But you're always trying to compare because from the outside you think, maybe the devil is only sitting on me. Eh? He came into my house and has decided to sit just in my house. Let me tell you, everyone has something they're dealing with because they have to grow. Pressure makes you grow. Through faith and patience, they acquired the promises. There is no man or woman of God that I know is genuine that has not gone through a process. You want $1 billion? First be faithful with 500,000. But you're here. Someone, they put them in charge of the finances of a ministry and they're busy trying to pick money out of there to go and pay their rent. Meanwhile, they shout amen and receive dollars. Nothing, it just hits and bounces off. You need to be in a place before you actually get there. And that's the truth of the fact. So we could preach gospel every time here. I could come here, talk to you about deep spiritual revelational things. Eh? But the truth of the fact is, every one of you here is going through something. Every one of you is looking for a particular point you want to be at. But the truth of the fact is this. God will not be able to use me to meet everyone's need here today, except through the word. Then he does the rest. My job is to just be a vessel. And so is every other man of God. But until you go back home and sit down, and you don't have to be deep speaking King James, you tell the Lord, I am your daughter. My sister is married. This one got married. This one is this. Lord, where are you? Even if he doesn't respond, he has heard. And he will respond in his kind. I don't remember the last time I went to a man of God for a need. I don't remember. Some of you do it every day. Your names are always on the list. Or you go to restaurants where the men of God are and sit on the side and try to. Oh my God, you mean you're here? I know some of you. Huh? You know someone. You know how those investigators, eh? They sit outside in movies, eh? And they're casing a particular place. Eh? That's how you case certain men of God. Eh? So you follow him behind. Then you park. Then you enter the restaurant where you've seen him enter.